This morning's public reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 this morning, going to be reading verses 9 to 17. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 17. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Now that's a question. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Now we saw that in Sunday school class, that God's word became a reproach, right? And a byword to the people. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the Lord of the land, saith the Lord, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over them, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. We come to this particular chapter, beloved, and you find some very chilling responses on the part of God's people. Now, once again, beloved, please bear in mind, Jeremiah, in this instance here, was not talking to the Egyptians. He was not addressing himself to the king of Babylon. He was not talking to the Philistines. He was not addressing himself to any emissaries from the kings of Assyria. He was talking to God's covenant people. That would be like any pastor standing in front of his congregation here this morning and opening up the scriptures and giving them the warnings and the blessings and the promises of heaven itself to his flock. Did you catch verses 16 and 17? Beloved, this is chilling. Why is it chilling? Listen carefully. Unless you guard your mind and your heart, you have the potential to commit this sin. You and I have the potential to respond to the teaching and preaching of God's word, whether it come from the Old or the New Testament, we will respond accordingly if we're not careful. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. So he's telling him to stand in a public area where he can be heard, not in some back corner, not in the closet, okay? Not in some basement. He's out there in the sun, probably in the temple court, okay? Ask for the old paths. Ask about the time when this nation was brought into a covenant relationship with the Almighty at the base of Sinai. They had just left Egypt about a month earlier. Great festivity, great jubilation. They have been set free from bondage. You would think they would be a happy, clappy people. He's asking them, consider the old days when you made that covenant agreement with God Almighty and walk therein and ye shall find rest for your souls. But the nation collectively said, we will not walk therein. You can keep your old-time religion. You can keep that old book. You can keep that old theology. We're not going to walk in that path. Okay, verse 17. I have set watchmen over you. Think of the parable of Matthew 21. The vineyard. The one who owns the vineyard. He let it out to husbandmen. Right? And then the owner of the vineyard sends out his servants to check for fruit, i.e. the Old Testament prophets, who were what? The watchmen on the wall. That's a beautiful cross-reference to Matthew 21. Who were those servants that Jesus refers to, who comes to the vineyard, checking it out, and wanting to see fruits? And yet, what was Israel's response to the prophets? Stoning, beating, sawing asunder. And then finally, the owner of the vineyard says, well, in the end, I'll send them my only son. They'll reverence him. No, they took him outside the city walls and nailed him to a tree. Also, I've set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. What was the trumpet used by the watchmen? To warn the people of an invasion. To warn the people of a disaster. So we have men today who are warning people, unless you repent, unless you come to the Savior, you will perish. You will destroy yourself. And what do we hear from the man in the pew? We will not hearken to your words. We've seen that even in this church in its 16 years. We're not going to listen to what you're saying. We're going to listen to these voices over here. They carry greater weight than you. Fine. But what they're telling you is the doctrine and the traditions of men and not Scripture. Did you also catch something else back in verse 10? To whom shall I speak and give warning? Verse 10 seems to kind of harken back to that verse 17. A warning, the watchman, a clarion call to save oneself, that they may hear. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. Excuse me? Last time I see a baby born, there's no foreskin covering anyone's ears, whether it's boy or girl baby. This seems to be talking about a different type of circumcision or a different type of uncircumcision. To one's hearing, to one's ability to hear what is being given to him or her and to understand what is being given to him and her and then to respond favorably to the message of the gospel. And so in salvation, it would seem that the foreskin of our ears, just as much as the foreskin of one's heart, must be removed. And I submit to you that there is a connection between an uncircumcised ear and an uncircumcised heart. We're not talking about a body part that dangles from the human body, my friends. We're talking about a spiritual disease. We're talking about a spiritual illness. We're talking about a spiritual malady that needs to be addressed. And yet when we come to Romans chapter 2, 28, 29, we are told that a true Jew is one who has had his heart circumcised. And in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe chapter 10 and in chapter 30 and chapter 10, God commands Israel to circumcise their hearts. While in chapter 30, he says, I will circumcise the foreskin of your heart. And that is addressing salvation. And so, beloved, unless you have an uncircumcised ear, you are unable and therefore unwilling to hear the warning that comes with the gospel message. Well, then in verses 14, these false prophets, just like today, they have healed also the hurt of my daughter of my people slightly. Beloved, a gospel that is not based on Scripture can never save. A Savior who is not properly identified and presented to the sinner cannot save. And today we have so much man-made garbage interjected into the gospel slightly. Its effect slightly. All it does is it produces a religious hell-bound sinner. But the true saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ transforms the sinner to a saint. But in Jeremiah's day, these guys were saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Babylon is coming over the horizon. The dust is rising from the chariot riders. The watchmen are blazing the horn, and the people inside said, we will not hear what you say. But did Jeremiah tell them, if you stay in the city, you're dead meat. If you flee to the king of Babylon, you're going to live another day. What did they tell Jeremiah? We will not hear you. And so, beloved, I know that I'm not the greatest light bulb that stands behind the pulpit, but if I give you the word of God, you better hear, because it ain't my word. It's the Lord's word, provided I'm giving you that word properly and within context. May God choose to bless his word. Amen.